From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of June 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Colin Peterson is optimistic House leadership will move farm bill legislation to the floor for consideration the week of June the 17th. ADM wants to maintain ports it purchased along with an Australian company, and the International Grains Council is raising corn and wheat forecast for this year's European harvest. We'll have more on that in a moment. Hey, and don't forget that in just 26 minutes, the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Let's check the numbers in Chicago as they settled up for a Monday afternoon. Nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat today at 7.08 and 3 quarters on its settlement price. That finished 3 and a quarter higher. September up 3 cents at $7.18 and a half, and December at 7.32 and 3 quarters up 2 and 3 quarters. The hard red in Kansas City at $7.51 and a half, a half cent higher. From the corn pit, nearby contract in the July, it tried to make it through at 6.69 on its top, but settled back at 6.55 and 3 quarters, down 6 and a quarter for the day. September at 5.88 and three quarters, down 8 and a half, and December 5.60 on the top, or rather 5.60 on its settlement price, down 7 and a quarter. It topped out at 5.73 and a half. The March contract 5.70 and a quarter, down 6 and three quarters, and May corn 577, down 5 and three quarters. July futures at 582 and three quarters, 4 and three quarters lower. Soy complex now. Bean futures, July contract 22 and a half cents higher, 1532 and a half. August at 1458 and a quarter, up 20 and a half. And September soybeans, 1367, up 19 and three quarters. November settled $13.25 and a half, up 21 and a quarter for the beans. And January futures at 1330 and three quarters, up 20 and three quarters. Bean meal at 454.40, up 7.20. Bean oil at 48.66, 28 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the August at 119.47 and a half, 97 and a half higher. September feeders at 146.50, down 7.5 cents. And July lean hogs at $93.55, down 30 for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures, July contract on the day, $93.42 a barrel, $1.45 higher on the afternoon. RBOB gasoline, that's the July contract at 279 and a tenth of a cent. That's 3 and 6 tenths of a cent higher. Ethanol trading at 271, down 3 and 4 tenths. And natural gas on the day at $3.99 and 4 tenths, a penny higher for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel trading at 284, that's 5 and 8 tenths of a cent higher. And the gold futures finished at $1,411.80 an ounce, up $19 on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar trading at 82.66, that's down 0.71 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service as it comes in for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. For a Monday afternoon, we should see mostly sunny skies with a high of just 69 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and a low of 49. Tuesday, sunny skies and 76. And Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 58 degrees. On Wednesday, a 30% chance of showers. A few thunderstorms also come after 1 in the afternoon. Partly sunny skies otherwise. 78 degrees on an east-southeast wind at about 7 miles an hour on Wednesday. And then Wednesday evening, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and 62 degrees for the low. On Thursday, showers and thunderstorms will continue. Rainfall at the 40% amount, mostly cloudy, and 75. Thursday night, cloudy and 58. Partly sunny on Friday and 74 degrees. Partly cloudy Friday night and 57. And on Saturday, mostly sunny skies and 77. Saturday night, partly cloudy, and we'll see 61 degrees for the low. And on Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny thereafter, a high of 77 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour when we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. It is, what, the third day of June 2013. On the phone line with us is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace today. Corn made a run at its highs, or recent highs, but didn't quite make it through it and then dropped back.
Yeah, just continue to see some failure in the July up towards 670 and the East corn up in this 570, 73 area or so, and just couldn't get the momentum going there. Tried to find a few buy stops, nothing really activated. News in the corn was somewhat subdued. I mean, we are wet, but ideas maybe we can dry out here a little drier next week. Just kind of limited the buying interest, along with really no big export news for say. I think the trade wants to see what this afternoon's crop conditions report shows. They're looking for about 92% of the corn crop being in the ground the first time as a nation, and maybe 63% good to excellent reading on the crop. And in order to get the market excited, I think they wanted to see what those numbers produce. But in the meantime, that generated some fund selling, some technical selling. Funds sold up towards 22,000 contracts of corn going into mid-session, and that was awful hard to stand in front of that freight train, as at one time the July corn was down sharply, over 20 cents at one time, and the D's was hit hard, but it was able to bounce back. I would think we'll develop a trading range here, kind of, even though we did record a technical reversal to the downside on the chart. I'd imagine just under today's lows is going to be a key point to try to hold here as we go through the week, Todd.
As you said, kind of a freight train. Sometimes those do happen when you have the technicians working the marketplace. On the other side of the coin, though, the fundamentals remain pretty much the same. Do you expect to turn around Tuesday?
I would think somewhat. A lot of spreading, buying beans, selling corn. Even late in the day, they would sell them, buy wheat, sell the corn, per se. So we'll see what develops here. Another thing, too, is, is the planted acres kind of drop here on corn, and harvest acre maybe also goes down. The yield goes down somewhat. The trade is very aware that WASDE numbers, USDA numbers, for say, have they cushion in a fairly large demand base going into next year. And even though production could go down, there's room to take away from the demand side of the equation. So we're tightening up the ending stocks here. I believe we're probably close to a 1.4, 1.5 in through here as the growing season goes on. That's going to be adjusted accordingly. So there's going to be a lot of ups and downs in the marketplace as we get a better handle on production going into mid-late June.
The soybeans managed to post a pretty nice little rally.
Yeah, they held their support levels, a little bit more urgency in the bean side of the equation. This afternoon's planting progress on beans expected to be around 57%. That's the slowest since 1996 versus 94% last year. I think 57% of the beans being in the ground is a generous number, for say. We've not seen a whole lot of activity throughout the Midwest here this past week, so it might be more so in the fringe areas that's been able to get some work accomplished. But bean demand still remains robust. Shipments on beans are starting to slow down a little bit, but they're hanging in there to meet the USDA expectations, especially on the export side of the equation there, Todd.
Yeah, there are a couple of things, I think, that you have to try to deal with when you have the soybeans. One is that you have a South American crop, or a crop that comes in and out every 6 months, one from North America and then one from South America. And then fundamentally in the United States, the bean supply just remains extraordinarily tight.
Tight, producers at this point in time are just sort of, hanging on to everything here until they get a little further along. So there's just not a whole lot for sale out there. I know the basis is hot in some areas and cold in some other areas, and it's going to take, some firm prices here to shake bean inventories loose. Now, once we get a little bit further along, I feel, you know, they'll be willing to let things go seasonally. And sometimes we trend lower into June, then go higher on some weather. So the concern or something we got to watch is make sure we're not putting in a weather rally right now.
And that does happen on occasion. Even with the drought year last year, the highest prices came in the August time frame, but not once we got into the time frame where we really knew what was in the field, meaning September and October.
Yeah, we trended lower once we, you know, early planting, crops okay. We trend lower into about mid-June, and all of a sudden, you know, the faucet turned off and the thermostat went up, and so did the market accordingly. So there's a lot of market in front of us. There's going to be a lot of market opportunities as far as producer goes, but there's going to be a lot of trading opportunities, too, for those who want to play in the grain market here this growing season.
Thanks for taking the time with us.
Very good, Todd. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, a couple of notes to pass along to you on this Monday afternoon. It is the third day of June, and if you are planning to take the ACRE program, whether it's your first year or not, and you can sign up for the ACRE program today through the end of the business day at the FSA offices, but that has to be done today, so that decision needs to be made. You can learn more about it on the FarmDoc website from Gary Schnitke, but the bottom line simply is, he says, it's fairly cheap insurance, likely to pay out in years like this one once out of every 4 years, so it's a 25% chance, but he figures it to be fairly cheap insurance, and if you think cash prices will be below $4.50 or in that $4 range for corn, it might be something worth considering. Again, you can find out more from him on the FarmDoc website. That is www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. You can find out more from him as well on our website at willag.org. He's in the notes section, but you'll have to hit see more in the Ag Notes section in order to see something more from him on ACRE. Right now, if you go there, you'll find a little bit from Gary Schnitke on making the prevent plant decisions. Some of those had to be made in the state of Illinois. Not be made, but at least to begin to be made on the 31st day of May. Others will need to be made on the 5th day of June. Those decisions are not hard and fast in terms of when they have to be put into place, but you probably ought to talk to your crop insurance agent if you're thinking about doing prevent plant, and you can learn more about what Gary Schnitke thinks about that on the Will Ag site or on the FarmDoc site, either one. We'll have more in just a moment. Dave Dickey will be here to take a look at today's agricultural news as we make our way through this, Monday afternoon on WILL. It is part of the service that comes to you. Remember, you can always find us online. And you can find us on the radio stations, or you can just call this number, 217-333-3434. And you do that at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day. And we'll update some of the numbers from either, roughly speaking, the mid-session or the closes, and we'll get you a bit of analysis. That number, again, is 217-333-3434. And quite frankly, it's just voicemail that you can find out what the numbers are trading like and what our analysts have to say if you can't get to a radio or you can't listen to us online.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Peterson, a Democrat from Minnesota, is still predicting that the House leadership will move the 2013 Farm Bill to the floor during the week of June 17th. Peterson says there are serious questions over the opposition the legislation will face in the House, both from Republicans who want more spending cuts and Democrats who don't support the bill's $20.5 billion in cost savings to the food stamp program over the next decade. Both Peterson and Committee Chairman Frank Lucas, a Republican from Oklahoma, say they expect House members will propose quite a few amendments to the legislation. Archer Daniels Midland Company wants to retain ports owned by GrainCorp Limited after it completes a $3.3 billion takeover, a move that risks intensifying divisions with Australian farmers who fear being locked out of vital export infrastructure. ADM says farmers will get higher prices and better access to fast-growing food markets like Asia and the Middle East if it becomes one of Australia's largest grain exporters. Acquiring GrainCorp would give ADM control of 7 of the 8 ports that handle 90% of grain shipments from Australia's east coast. Lobby group NSW Farmers has written to Treasurer Wayne Swain demanding ADM offload port assets, give other parties access to GrainCorp's 20 million metric ton storage network along the east coast, and commit to invest in rail infrastructure as part of the deal. The International Grains Council has raised its forecast for corn and wheat crops based on better yields in the EU and Soviet Union. The IGC expects 682 million metric tons of wheat to be harvested. That's 4% more than last year and 2 million tons more than the organization estimated last month. It pegs the 2013 corn crop at 945 million tons, up 10% from last season and 6 million tons more than the forecast of a month ago. A massive fire broke out at a poultry plant in northeastern China early Monday, trapping workers inside a cluttered slaughterhouse and killing at least 119 people. Several dozen people also were hurt in the blaze. The fire broke out during a change of shifts at the plant, and it may have originated in a locker room at a time when about 350 workers were at the site. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Hey, have you thought about signing up yet? And it's a good deal, just $40, for the June 24th Illinois Tax School Farm Family Legacy event that's scheduled for Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Just search for Illinois Tax School and then look on the left-hand side. Gary Hoff talked to you about it last week. If you haven't thought about estate planning, this is a great way to get started, and it's just $40. It's supported in part by Farm Credit, and I'll be there, of course, to MC. It's in Bloomington Normal on the 24th day of June. Look online now at the Illinois Tax School. Now, up next, you know, up until this point, U.S. farmers have been concerned only about getting the corn crop planted in a timely fashion. But the time has come to be concerned about planting soybeans late as well. Prior to 1986, soybeans were considered planted on time if the job was done by June 10. Since 1986, the crop has been considered behind schedule if sown after May 30th. It makes a lot of years late, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
By this definition, an average of 32% of the acreage was planted late in the 33 years from 1980 through 2012. The average is relatively high since the planting of double crop soybeans generally occurs late. The percentage of the acreage planted late has ranged from 9% in 2012 to 66% in 1995. There were 5 years in which late planting exceeded 50%, and all of those years were in the 1990s.
Good says in 1986, 48% of the nation's soybean crop was planted late, and 47% in 2011.
Acreage and yield outcomes in those years might influence expectations for this year if it turns out that a large percentage of the acreage is planted late. In the 5 years with the most late planted acreage, total planted acreage exceeded March intentions in 4 years. The increase ranged from about 800,000 to about 2.1 million acres. Planted acreage was 1.6 million less than intentions in 1990. And in both 1986 and 2011, planted acreage was about 1.6 million acres less than intentions.
The point is, acreage responses in late planting years have not been consistent in either magnitude or direction. The yield history isn't much help either as it pertains to getting a handle on this year's late planted soybean crop.
The U.S. average yield was less than one bushel above trend in 1986 and 1996, very near trend in 1990 and 91, and about a bushel below trend in both 95 and 2011. The largest deviation from trend was the nearly three bushel shortfall in 1993.
As is the case with corn, soybean yields are mostly determined by growing season weather. A Goods Has History suggests the late planting premium put into the marketplace prior to May 30th is unfounded. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain markets. On the phone line with us is Greg Johnson from the Andersons, from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
So I have a question for you. You heard that story, and that came actually from Darrell Good, his Farm Doc article about a week ago, in which he basically said, well, we've gained 75 cents. This was a week ago today in the soybean market, but that's unfounded at this time, in his opinion. However, he also said after May 31st, we're going to look at a crop that's probably going to go in the ground later, and we'll need to put some more cash into the marketplace. What are your opinions on where this market is for soybeans at the time?
Yeah, the big question, the big head scratcher, is why new crop beans have rallied as much as they have. It's kind of understandable to, you know, realize why old crop beans have rallied. The farmers have responded to the inverse in the market ever since December and have sold those beans, thinking that the South American crop would take the place of the exports. So, there's very few old crop beans left. In fact, we may have oversold old crop beans and may need to import some from South America to get us through to September, October. So old crop beans are tight, and so that's understandable why the price is so high. But the question is, why are new crop beans so high? Are they just tagging along for the ride, or is there some demand out there that we don't know about? Or are farmers just not selling new crop beans until they get a few more planted and make sure they're off to a good start? That seems to be the big puzzler that everybody's asking about.
Yeah, that's what Darrell was trying to say in his article as well. And we've been puzzling over it for a while. Are there things that you can see underneath this marketplace that suggest new crop beans need to be higher?
Not necessarily, no. I think especially here in East Central Illinois, where we avoided the heavy, heavy rains over the weekend, our crops look pretty good. I wouldn't trade ours for too many other areas. So if we've got beans planted and off to a decent start, I think we can make money selling $13 beans, which is where we're at for cash new crop beans.
And you think you can make money. Farmers probably can do so, but the question is, are they doing so?
Well, they always like to make as much as they can, and if they're going to keep going higher, it's kind of paid to be a little slow on the trigger the last 3 years, but that's been because we've had below trend line yields, and maybe it'll be a fourth year in a row where we have that again. But, like I say, at some point in time, you have to pull the trigger and start selling them at some point.
And what are your bids for the day?
All right. Cash corn is $6.97. New crop corn is $5.47. Cash beans are $15.72. New crop beans, $13.05, and new crop wheat, $6.89.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joined us on this Monday afternoon. I'll be back in just 2 minutes, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's National Chocolate Macaroon Day. Like many foods, the origins of the macaroon are murky, but some historians trace it back to an Italian monastery. The pastry became popular in France in the 18th century. It's also St. Morad's Day, patron of wine growers and winemakers. He founded the Monastery of St. Christopher and is said to have lived the whole of each Lent on a single bunch of grapes. On this day in agricultural history, in 1539, Hernando de Soto claimed Florida for Spain. He landed 9 ships, 620 men, and 220 horses at Charlotte Harbor, Florida. In 1841, Nicholas Francis Aperit died. He was inventor of the canning process, preserving food by sealing it in sterilized containers. He published the results of 14 years of research in 1810 and received a 12,000 franc award from French government officials for his efforts. And in 1844, Wilbur Atwater was born. An American scientist, Atwater developed agricultural chemistry. He received a Ph.D. from Yale in 1869 for his studies on the chemical composition of corn, and he established the first agricultural experimental station in the U.S. in 1875. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
This is the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Mark Russo is on the phone line from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Mark, farmers would like some sunshine, a little, maybe even a little heat, a little wind wouldn't be so bad to dry things out so they can finish stuff up. What can you deliver? Any of it?
Some of it here, Todd. Unfortunately, not all of it here as we look ahead over the next couple of weeks. You know, looking specifically at this week, the bottom line is that, today and into tomorrow, we'll feature generally sunny skies, but some lighter winds here across the Corn Belt. Looks like rains return on Wednesday. Some of those rains actually begin as early as tomorrow in portions of the western Corn Belt, but specifically here, central Illinois and adjacent areas, looks like Wednesday we'll see the return of rain. And this active pattern here that the Corn Belt has been in now for the past couple of weeks here shows all signs of remaining in place over the next couple of weeks. Now, the one item, though, to note different than what we've seen here lately is that the copious amounts of rainfall in large swaths here of the Midwest, we just will not see that here, at least over the next couple of weeks. Nonetheless, it still is an active pattern, but the amount of the totals over large areas that we've seen, and that's what's causing some of the excessive wetness issues here. We will not see that coming up, but nonetheless, the pattern still features frequent chances of rain. And from a temperature standpoint, we do see temperatures here by as cooler than normal this week, but that looks to ease next week. And in fact, temperatures look to climb back to normal, even warmer than normal levels next week.
When you go back and take a closer look at the historical amounts of rainfall in the last couple of weeks, what's been falling, especially in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, in some of the southwest, in the plains and Great Plains and the wheat growing areas, who's been able to catch up and alleviate there what has been continuing from last summer, the drought, and gotten closer or out of drought conditions?
Yeah, well, certainly looking at it even longer than just the past couple of weeks, what we've seen, you know, last week, the rains and heavy rainfall, that was actually one of three big rain events here this spring, and combination of all three of these major rain events is actually, for the Corn Belt as a whole, has caused the rankings here for April and May to be the wettest on record here for the Corn Belt, and it's shaping up to be the wettest dating all the way back since the late 1800s. So just, you know, phenomenally impressive wetness that we've seen here, and that's covered the key growing areas here in corn-producing counties here, including those up across the northwestern Corn Belt, Iowa, Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas, and then here in Illinois. Certainly, most areas have been in it. There's been a few pockets that have missed out, but for all practical purposes here, your largest producing areas have seen the most copious totals here.
So most of them are caught back up, have enough, at least topsoil moisture, and subsoil moistures are being recharged as well then?
Significantly. And in fact, yeah, too much topsoil moisture in numerous areas.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for being with us. You have a great and safe day.